That's how we're going to work.
So, facilitators, how did you choose the topics and why were some topics not chosen? Jim?
Okay. Well, it's a double act. In fact, it's a pentacle act. Yeah. So, what we're going to do, Ed's going to do this first bit, and then we're going to talk a little bit about our game.
Okay.
So, initially faced with a large number of very competent war games of varying ability, different ethnic groups, if we wanted to call us, thought the simplest, the fairest way, yet devised, and yet the worst way, as Mr. Church would say, was to do a vote. So we conducted the election mini war game first, and everyone voted on what they wanted to do. That gave us three priorities for the war games that we're going to look at, representing groups. Fortunately, those came into thirds quite nicely. Those groups then did a sort of deep dive around the circle discussion, initially discounting stuff that wouldn't work or wouldn't work for the sake of this activity. So they then went quite convergent, as it were, into areas. We then got that back briefed to the wider audience in sequence, starting with the aim and then the name, which was a sort of fun activity in itself. And then the type and all the rest of it. And then because there was a sort of military theme going on, we then asked them to discard that option completely, start again, same topic, but doing a completely different one, as if their first one had been refused point blank. So we got some really altruistic options, co-twos, as they were, co-crazy, as the CTO would say, which a lot seem to be leaning towards the E-sphere, as opposed to the manual sphere of the initial one, which showed a good breakout from traditional thinking. And I suspect, if we had more time, they would have inculcated some of those ideas back into their primary version to then carry that forward. But as it was, they then selected of the two which one they wanted, and then that's the one that we briefed them on.
Okay. Bob, how did your group choose?
My attractive assistant, and it's, well,
not often I get called that.
As you can see, what we actually did was enlisted everything. Quite simply said, right, everybody here has three votes. You can vote for one thing, we'll choose the three most popular. As you'll see, immediately we did that, Ukraine and drone wars emerged as the leaders. We then had two, mercenaries and their masters, and city fight came out as equal. So we said, right, everybody, one vote, one for this, one for that, and then we went for mercenaries and their masters. So that's how we determined which of the three the options we were going to go for.
So that's
that was determined the options, and then of course we were very nice and let people self-select their group, which we would have managed, except that it divided out equally, so we went with it.
Okay, so that's in election terms, that was a single transferable vote, and
first past the post.
Wow. Okay, Rex.
Yeah, ours was not dissimilar, except we gave people two votes across for choosing the three things. We didn't count the votes, so our system would not pass sort of UN election observer certification. But then I work on Middle East politics, so we're not really used to counting the actual number of votes.
Sorry, is this a Montreal thing?
We had a sort of rough sense of which were the top three. There was a group of people who went, oh yeah, attack on a school. So we banished them to one corner because we were sure we wouldn't associate with them. We also had the migrant one and the city fight one. Past that, I can't comment too much on how the facilitation went in the other two groups.
Sure. Okay, so I think that's covered that enough. Okay. When we were talking about a war game, we were looking at the spectrum. It is a spectrum. At one end, we've got really original and creative thought. The other end, we've got rigor and statistical analysis. We're really looking at the creativity and original thought end, which normally means that we're in the area where we're not going to get certain types of design. But you're all very imaginative, you're all very experienced, so I'm looking forward to find out exactly what you did. Aim and purpose, what are we trying? We're looking at creating knowledge, conveying knowledge, team building. Is it a structured problem, an unstructured problem? How? That's the sort of space we're trying to decide where our games are going to fit. So, game design, starting off with Jim and Ed.
Right, keep it brief. If I can just But I'd like to make it clear that I believe the trademark applications are in already.
Our three top choices of games were The Hex Factor, Game of Drones, If, for the terror and shooting and killing to the school. Some of you will get that reference. And this is an edutainment audience participation TV show. This is about animal herding, and this is about making better terrorists. These were the first three designs. We did get them to, we did put up right at the start a big notice saying, "Am I being innovative enough?" To paraphrase the old advice to infantry officers, "Am I being offensive enough?" But I thought everyone was quite offensive enough already, so we went for innovation. And having come up with three innovative ideas, I then said, well, they've all been rejected, come up with three even more innovative ideas, but we'll talk about those at another time. They were really cool. But the groups decided to go with their first ideas as being their favourites. So if I can just have, what I've asked is that each of the syndicates to just pop up and give us like a three bullet point description in just a few seconds, just so that you can get their version of what their game was about. So if we start with The Hex Factor, we've got a Hex Factor spokesperson.
Hi there, as Jim's already said, we've come up with an entirely new kind of TV format, which we're calling Televised Live Contemporary Interactive Board Game. And we call it Hex Factor, for obvious reasons. So basically, the players are the actors in our studio audience who are playing heads of state and various regional powers, whose decisions affect the war game that's going on in the background, and are trying to sway the opinion of the studio audience, who are essentially their gaming actors on their side, the better their rankings, the more they can do, but they don't drop out of the game. Special events and dollar outcomes can be voted on, and it can be discussed by guest SMEs and voted on by our viewing public, and the reference doing that. And we think we really have the television event of the decade.
Yeah. So we're all very excited. Looking forward to the first episode. Thank you very much. Game of Drones.
Game of Drones. Basically, the idea was to create a game about to cause a debate about drone warfare. So committees put down their presented targets, given the choice of to strike or not strike. It was a risk and reward game. The longer they have, the more information they have, what the target may pass. Then at the end of it, there's no sort of victory points, but basically at the end, they're told how many targets they managed to kill terrorists at, how many targets they managed to kill innocent civilians, and they're asked if they do the resource effective ratio, did they kill too many civilians, did they not kill too many civilians. And we thought it was an interesting dynamic as well, provide the rules of engagement, whether they thought that was a good guideline to follow, whether they found it was too strict, too severe, and it's generally debate about the topic.
Thank you. Good, sorry, yeah, I said animal herding, that was your second idea, wasn't
yes.
it? The one I liked best. Okay, that's great, thank you. If.
You get the link up?
Yeah. Pull
the... Thank you, yes. So I said, those of you who... Thank you. Remember the name, the film of that name? That's where the scriptwriter was, and my room was over there. So, we thought we would beef up Red. We use a game as an educational aid for the Red teams to provide a valuable Red challenge to civil defence exercises. So how to commit a really effective atrocity. The target audience are red cells, and let me emphasise, on the good guys' side. I missed this at first. We're not actually trying to train the terrorists. But if it doesn't sell to the civil defence organisations, we could certainly provide that service to people trying to produce realistic red opposition for our military plans. You could also use this to generate a campaign scenario for an operational blue exercise. So it's a telescoping tactical game, looking at one school, one atrocity to a campaign. And it's basically a planning game using cards and maps. And the principal drivers will be the risk of discovery versus the extent of the impact, so the extent of the nastiness, and what coverage can be generated from it. So I won't read through all the rest of that. I think you can see it for yourself. There's a mixture of cards you will build. The more sophisticated you try to get, the bigger the impact, but the more likely you are to be found out and get that rather nasty Guy Fawkes experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that was our efforts, and I for one really looking forward to playing those games. Thank you.
And there's a timetable then, aren't you, Jim?
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep.
Right. Right. Kiev Chicken, the Ukraine. Can I just say, I had a wonderful team of people who I was facilitating. They all got involved in this. They all fed into it. Marvellous. I was a bit naughty because I actually told them 3 minutes to come up with an aim and purpose, 3 minutes to come up with the target audience. I then timed them with a watch that hasn't got a stopwatch facility, which was stupid in mind. So we came up with, to examine the strategic ramifications of hybrid activity in the Ukraine in order to inform on the range of options. And our target audience, strategic decision makers. Having got that, we then got onto the type of game it's going to be. It's going to be adversarial, asymmetric double blind with a modular specific and specific victory conditions, where the tactical actions inform strategic decisions and vice versa. Strategic decisions will inform tactical actions. It will be free play, moderated, with dynamic victory conditions. So in other words, it could be repeatable. As circumstances change, you could replay and replay and replay. That's one of the things about this game. The intention was that it would be played not just once, but many, many times, in order to look at all the variety of options so that it would inform our audience. I don't see the diagram. This is how it was envisioned taking place. Basically, four teams. The main players are the strategic level. They would feed into tactical teams who would be working with the control. The idea was that any tactical problems would be solved very, very quickly and fed back up the chain to those making strategic decisions. And that there are certain obvious delineations. So you've got blue alliance, green and red. In order to do this properly, we required historical data. We would need to look at open source data on the hybrid activity that's taking place, intelligence, psychological profiles of the major players, certainly on the red side. And we'd look at case studies as well. The whole idea is to have a repeatable game to look at those things. And I understand you can probably see it's already been copyrighted, and no doubt this will appear in a civil service place somewhere near you in the very near future.
Okay. So, next. Drone strike. Cool.
So, before I say anything, first of all, you know, it's trademarked. This is the first of a franchise of games looking at special forces and other forms of insurgent strikes. So we decided to initially go educational, but as we worked more, we moved into the recreational, something which anyone would want to play when they have a bit of spare time. So therefore, our target audience is the public, possibly with a bit of emphasis on people interested in political and government aspects of drone strikes. So what we wanted to do is have the show the build-up to a strike where you're trying to get intelligence, you're trying to decide when is the right point to strike. So the idea is you'd have a board with targets and you'd be building intelligence up on each of these targets. But if the target moved, all of that's wasted. So have to decide risk-reward, when do you strike, versus is how long do you wait to get the full picture. It'll be a semi-cooperative game, however, you'd have different stakeholders. You'd have the military, intelligence, government and media who could be working together or could be working individually towards their own goal. The idea is if you lose, everyone loses, but it's individual win. So you're trying to win, but not at the cost of the entire game. Data-wise, doesn't matter hugely. We'd be trying to balance the ratios for a good game and emphasise it's tricky to make the right decisions and really limit resources. Would use real-world data, use something which works mechanically.
I say,
trademarked, in stores, probably November next year. So keep $29.99.
Okay, next one is Mercenaries and Their Masters. Jerry?
Yeah, you should go up a bit, because I'm a short
arse. Oh, yeah.
with a compensation problem, so I've got the longest script. Okay, first of all, this is open source, open to everyone, okay? We need to share good practice. So, for green and or country, this is looking but aimed at operational commanders, preferably before they go out in operating this sort of environment, but to give them some experiences of the sort of things that might happen and the consequences of their actions. We, of course, will use that well-known game type of a campaign analysis tool, Rapid, which we accept is already trademarked, so we might have to negotiate rights for using that, but there we go. So we'll have the sort of area where the various things that may or may not happen, so those people that are really good at the latest map symbols will, of course, instantly recognise the sort of very valuable oil well, the things that that might well have security consultants guarding, the refugee camps, which of course can have problems of their own, the ports where all the aid is going to come in, the sort of local revenue, the banks and the markets and the various things. And we have started to develop a whole range of possible things that might occur for the commander to deal with. And the players in all of this, as well as the commanders, are of course all the other different people that might be here. So the mercenaries, the locals who are may well have different views, different splits, different ethnic orientations within things, and that. So work under development, help and support, of course, with it being open software, of course, we'll give it to you, you can give it up, we'll have you, your stuff comes in, incorporate, everybody works together and makes it much better. There we go. Thank you very much.
Cool. Okay, so Rex, who's...
Well, I can get my... You'll be doing the work.
I go first.
Yes, please.
If you just push it up.
Okay.
So, our game, Thomas Crook, a game of human trafficking. aim and purpose is to understand trafficking really from the point of view of the smuggler. So you play as a human trafficker, but it's a form of red team, it's a red team type game. Card-driven board game, borrowed a lot from things like Pandemic, Seven Wonders. In terms of the game mechanic, using cards, you generate refugees, so you turn over a number of cargo cards, and these start refugees on their way, which use the traffickers can then bid for, use action cards to move them down the track or invest in infrastructure. Consequence cards that you draw on a particular track that generate government responses or NGO responses in that particular region, and a set of random events, journalists, MSF interventions, weather, etc. Victory could be asymmetric. So it could be about making money, and we'll have wads of Monopoly money flowing around the game to give it a bit of an authentic feel. Or it could be idealistic, so numbers smuggled in, numbers into Europe. And data, UNHCR, websites, media reports, Hans Rosling, all that sort of thing.
Okay. Okay, for the purposes of recording, my name is Tim Price. For the purposes of decency, the name of this game is K2, and ask us afterwards for what that actually stands for. We spent probably half of the time deciding what our aim and purpose should be, and trying to get Stephen from deciding the aim and purpose should be to train the terrorists, which seemed to be the one thing he wanted to try and do. At the end of the day, we ended up with something about educating schools and educational authorities on mitigating the effects of terrorist attacks on schools, reducing the impact of terrorist attacks, and trying to make sure whether they're COAs, testing their existing COAs, and improving those COAs to make sure they worked more efficiently against potentially increasing threats. The audience, school administrators, school staff, local education authority, tailored to the individual school type based on the demographic and the architecture and the position of each individual school. We went in the end for a sort of matrix game system, repeatable, using multiple games in which each game then stressed the players much more with a different and more aggressive threat each time. So the first threat might actually be something they could easily manage with their COA. By the time you get to the third threat, they really need to think about their COA and how they need to change that. There'd be resource constraints for the terrorist red team. It would be adversarial, so the red team would be able to make plans and have a set of cars to generate the kind of attacks they could attack, but they would be able to plan and exploit whatever planning the Blue Force COA had in place. Kind of data we needed, understand what the existing COAs are for these schools, understand what existing attacks had gone in various different places and how those were conducted and the impacts, and then modelling, importantly, school demographics, school architecture, and other elements that might affect the way in which the attack went ahead.
So. Cool. Excellent. Phil?
Right. Took us a long, long time to decide where to focus. It's a city fight thing. The best part about that, as you'll see, is the title, which is really inspiring, I think. We started out with one extreme block clearance, modern urban fighting doctrine, all the way to how does a modern army even dream of controlling or exercising any kind of influence in a mega city. That led us off into the idea that there's all sorts of other actors dwarfing the number of any military forces, either local or interventionist, within the megacity, and therefore to thinking about the interactions among those as they're going on, of course, routinely in every city in the world, including this one. So we decided in the end, having gone through the idea of having an experimental game to look at megacity operations for the defence forces, or a training game for tactical doctrine, to actually make a game for hobby gamers, fun game, but with the accent being there on drug gangs, drug wars, the stability and instability of the city, and the various multiple component actors like the police and the military forces, and of course the drug wars, drug warriors themselves. The mechanism, you'd see the size of the city, 10 by 10 perhaps, stable, unstable, and the issue of stability being eroded as infections were spread in terms of riots and the like. You would have forces that you could deploy to try to affect that, but they'd always be swamped by the amount of area that they would have to cover. And then, of course, you have a sort of diplomacy-like system in which you would have hidden objectives. So what particularly excites people was the idea that the mayor, for example, was in control of the deployment of the police force. The hidden card that they might have for objectives would include that they're getting kickbacks from the drug lords. So they probably wouldn't deploy the police in circumstances where the army were expecting them to, etc. So that hidden objectives combined with resource allocation and a multiplayer context is the key thing there. Pretty obviously, data, just look at the massive literature which exists in policing and social policy literature on how these things work in reality, because this is in effect what's happening in Mexico City and so many other cities around the world. So it's really just making that into a hunter-like game for fun, basically. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you very much. That's really helpful. A couple of observations I've got on that. One is there is a science-based podcast by the New York Public Radio, NPR, I can't remember the name of it, which has a podcast dedicated to the procedure for drone strikes, which is extremely educative and informative, if you can find it. I'm just trying to think of the name of Radiolab. There you go. So Google Radiolab and drone strikes and listen to the podcast, and it will tell you all about the football cards and how they decide on who gets hit and who doesn't and why and wherefore and the decision-making process. So very useful. Names. What's in a name? Very important names, yeah. There was once a game put on at a wargaming conference about unmanned underwater vehicles. And it was a bit of fun, and two people spent a very long time coming up with the acronym Barracuda for theirs. British Unmanned Rapid Response. You get the idea. Several years later, in the Ministry of Defence, we were invited to take part in a very serious game about examining unmanned underwater vehicles, and we walked in, and the capability was called Barracuda. And one of the analysts says, "You say a word, Moa, and I'm going to kill you." On a more serious note, playing the enemy. That's come up on a couple of these, and it's really quite important. The US Marine Corps invested quite a bit in the first-person shooter game VBS2. And the investment that they put in was to get more realistic IEDs put in the game. And what they did is they would take groups of soldiers who had used this first-person shooter and split them in half. And one half was told, you're going to do a patrol around this town, go away and plan. And they would get three or four vehicles, they would establish a little convoy, they would drive through the town and exit off the map. The other team were told, you're going to play the terrorists. Here is an IED cache, go and choose your favourite IED, and then go and lay it, and then ambush the troops. And then they'd swap over. Great fun, but gives the guy a real insight. So converted what might be a fairly boring training exercise, you drive down the road, get blown up at random, or you drive down the road and there's some earnest objective and learning objective to be achieved, to your team is going to beat the other team. And the insight that the US Marine Corps got from doing that was incredibly valuable. So paying the red team panders to the worst Daily Mail headline in that a bunch of analysts are going to play the terrorists. They're designing games about being terrorists. No, we're designing games to get insight as to how they think so that we can deal with it. And it's very valuable. What I'd like to see is some more academic papers on the subject demonstrating how they are. A couple of things that came up to me. There seems to be a willingness to use card-based mechanisms. Now, the advantage, of course, with card-based mechanisms as part of the game design is you have an opportunity while you're rolling through to change what's on those cards. You can change the card mix, you can adjust the game. So you're making a game design more flexible and able to be adapted by the players, which is something I think is quite good. One of the things that came out with a couple of players, game designs, but not so much with the others, was the use of data. Now, I thought that, you know, telling you where are you going to get your data from, that would require you to have a think. So the drone bit here, where the drones, guys, where are you going to get your data? Who did Game of Drones? Sure. Yeah. So basically, the war porn straight out of Snowden and all of that. You should bear in mind, of course, that some of that is still US secret no fawn, so you're not allowed to look at it. So should I look at it on my game machine? I am on my work machine. I would be contravening US law. And since the US are our allies, I wouldn't want to do that. Although there are university websites in America that have indexed, searchable indexes of everything that's been published on Snowden, should you wish to break US law and look at the secret no-fawn stuff. So there's a bit of a dichotomy there when you're searching for your data. If it's available on YouTube, you're probably safe. If you're searching through the secret Snowden stuff, then you need to be aware that it is actually against the law. So be careful. The school terror stuff. Two games that are interested in looking at that. Where are you going to get your data from? Either one. Volunteer. Somebody speak.
We're interested in finding out what the existing colours might be for schools.
Yes.
Yeah. Individual schools, so that was all open source.
Yep.
And then using attacks against school and other attacks.
Yep.
Just to try and generate some kind of information.
Okay. I mean, there is a way of doing this, and that's simply Google Hits. You know, you come up with a search term, you try several search terms, you see how many hits. That's a statistical method of saying, you know, how many of these, how popular is it? Now, of course.
Just hang outside the school gate until we get the pattern of life onto the
monument. Yeah. good luck with that. let me know the results. Tim Price is the email address, yeah.
It would be a very fruitless search in my experience of education. They probably do not have any plans at all.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, at the back.
So there's a very good book produced by Russi on the best land seeds in Russia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good point.
So we specifically said we were going to look at news organisations' timings
okay.
to work out the most likely times.
Okay, excellent. So that is quite a good, useful, very quick way of getting some statistics. I generated a game for cyber, and I based the popularity of a cyber attack based entirely on the number of Google hits. So, you know, if I said 419 fraud, that got so many hits. If I said SQL attack, it got slightly less hit. If I said virus, then there were more. It's a way of doing it, but of course it will be slanted. So you will, if you're going to try and present this with any credibility, you will have to discuss how you're going to address the slanting in the media. And also, of course, bearing in mind that Google, when it presents to you, is presenting to you a personalized service, which is based entirely on your previous browsing history. So if you're going to check it through Google on your normal search engine, you're going to get a completely different result to if you check it on DuckDuckGo, which guarantees not to profile you. So just little things, if you're searching for information through open source, the choice of your browser will influence the results. Try it out, go home, Google something on as you'd normally do it, and then go to DuckDuckGo and see the difference in the results. Very, very useful way of doing it. Okay, so let's just pull this down for a sec. And turn this back on. So, observations, Rex.
I can mainly comment on the subgroup I was facilitating. I thought it went very, very well. I think we rapidly got into a flow. It was a somewhat noisy room, and so there was some difficulty at times making sure everyone was equally heard. I think we rapidly converged on ideas for game elements, but also people throwing critical ideas, and maybe that won't work, or perhaps we shouldn't do that, or perhaps that'll lead to certain kinds of play we don't want. I really enjoyed it. I could have given us some cardboard and some scissors, and we would have come out of
it. Cool. Okay, when you're considering modern topics, an alternative approach to doing it in the way that we're doing is to set people homework. And one of the concepts that came up for homework was to look at published studies by the MOD, the DOD, or whatever. Now, this is available on the UK MOD website. So if you search for future character of conflict, it will take you straight to the website, and there's a 1 megabyte PDF down, and it talks about the future character of conflict. And then as homework, you give to various people the opportunity to produce a 1-page proposal for a game to do with a topic in there. And the topics in there will be climate change, there will be migration, there will be megacities, and things like that. So as an alternative to generating insight in the way that we tried it, you could take a publication which is approved, and these are the things that are going to happen in the future. So to generate insight for educational purposes, for discovery learning purposes, and for fun, having a look at the topics in there can be a good idea. Now, actually, it's quite a thick read, but if you go down to DCDC, they do a very nice little desk calendar which has a very small, like, A7 flip over with bullet points, and that's even easier because there's only 12 of them for the year, which might. But as an alternative approach, that can be useful for looking at innovation. Okay, so now we come to the crunch of the matter. So what I want to be able to do is come here and Jerry and Bob. So we're going to vote for the game you would most like to see at Connections in order to take part as a participation game. So, first of all, you can vote for multiple things, but, you know, I want you to say the game you would most like to be to see. So, the Ukraine game, a game about the Ukraine, doesn't necessarily have to be the hex factor, but a game on the Ukraine. Hands up, keep your hands up. And Bob will tell me when he's finished counting.
Hang on. Put your hand up twice. It's not okay. Oh, good night. That's right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll make it 25.
Right.
We have actually plus and minus one.
So next is drone games. A game about drones and drone strikes and however political, tactical.
Jeff, are you scratching your hair? No, right, cheers. I made that 18.
Plus and minus one.
Okay. So, protecting schools.
You know what to do there. What do you make it, Joe? 15.
Sorry?
15.
Plus or minus
one. Plus or minus one.
Plus or minus two. 14.
Okay, refugees.
Can I count you?
No. We couldn't be counted.
Refugees. Okay. City fight. City drug lord. City.
Fifteen, I think.
And mercenaries and their masters, PMCs, depending on whether you're left wing, right wing, or a legal expert.
Two.
Who wants to?
Well,
Three. Okay. So, following the first past the post, mass single transferable vote, we have. The Ukraine, and we have refugees and migration as the two topics. So, those who would prefer to see one about refugees and migration, please stick your hand up. Okay, need to quick hand.
You can't vote twice.
Oh, sorry.
Make it 32.
Well, yeah, minus the two votes that miscounted because you had two hands in the air.
I thought it was merely surrendering.
Okay, and hands up for the Ukraine.
Oh, overwhelming.
I know. Come on. Yeah, that's good.
I'm 33.
Within a margin of error. Okay, so obviously next year, Ukrainian refugees, as suggested by Todd, will be the best way to go. Right, hang on. Whoops, didn't mean to do that. Sorry. Okay, so. Okay, questions, comments?
I've got a question. What if yes. Ukrainian refugees aren't relevant next year?
Okay, so hang on. The Ukraine and migration, do we think that either of those topics are going to be old hat next year? Hands up if you think they'll be old hat, either one.
Do you want to count this as well?
No, just. There's a couple of people who think, actually, it's the topic du jour. Okay. Do you think the Ukraine's going away? Hands up if you think the Ukraine's going away. No. Okay, in a year's time, hands up who thinks that migration and stuff will be of interest, will no longer be of interest. Okay, that's really interesting. And nobody wants to do a game about elections. So, the message is for Charles Vasey, you've got the market sewn up, no one else is, there's going to be no competition. Okay, well, thank you very much. That concludes our bit on looking at one of the ways of generating innovation with regard to the game design. I just wanted to thank my facilitators who knew absolutely nothing about this until I told them I need you as a facilitator. So I'd just like to give a big vote of thanks to the facilitators.